Hey guys, this is Brett Baronic from Sugar Grove Church in Goshen, Indiana, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
We're back, Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast, episode 42. Hey everyone, this is Matthew McCabe.
And this is Steve Anderson, and we are here to help youth workers to keep going. It's a holiday today. It's Martin Luther King Day, which means that a lot of people are off, including all the schools and a lot of federal employees, and
our wives.
Our wives are off today.
So we had this brilliant idea.
They've joined us on the show.
The best idea we've ever had. Put the better half of the Sherpas on the podcast.
This show just got 200% better than usual.
Our listenership should just go through the roof when episode 42 drops.
Yeah. So we would like to introduce to you today, our wives are with us on the Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi. I'm Karen. I'm Steve's wife.
And hey, I'm Gina. I'm Matthew's wife.
I'm glad you guys got that right.
Let's make sure that gets completely clear. So we thought it'd be a really good idea today to have a conversation with our wives and get some perspective on what it's like to be the spouse of a youth worker.
Yeah, because they've been married to us for probably longer than we deserved. So
100%.
They have a lot of wisdom to share, and they've been super encouraging to us through many, many challenges. And we just thought it'd be awesome to have them on the show today. So I'm going to start off. I'm going to ask Matthew and Gina, just tell us a little bit about, how you came together and how you got started in youth ministry together.
So we've been married now for almost 24 years, coming this June, and we actually met at the college that I went to, and so I actually met him, which is different for you guys. I actually met Matthew when he was a youth pastor. So that's all I've known of Matthew is as a youth pastor. So, met 24 years ago, and we were married quite shortly after we met. And we'll leave that out in case our kids are listening. And then, so that's all I've known. I know it's different for you, but that's all I've known is him as a youth pastor.
Yeah, and that was in Wisconsin?
That was in Green Bay, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Although I was a youth pastor, the question is, did you have any idea what you were getting yourself into?
Absolutely not. Yes.
And she was not a student in your youth ministry at the time.
No, I was not.
That would be terribly awkward, Steve.
I had to ask. In our 20s is when I got called into youth ministry, so you want to tell a little bit about that story, how that happened?
Well, we had two sons already, and we were really involved in the middle school youth ministry at the church we were going to, and Steve just fell more and more in love with working with teenagers and that whole everything that went with that, and we were doing it together, and he decided he wanted to do that full time. But there's another long story that leads up to him deciding he needed to go to seminary, and that can be saved for another podcast. So we went out to seminary with two little boys, and I was pregnant and resistant at first, but God brought me on board, and we had a wonderful experience out there, and that's how he got called and why we're here today.
So I started when I was 35 here at this church, and we were a young family with three kids.
One of the things I'd like to know is, so again, two different stories, one you married into it and one kind of went along for the journey, but what was it like early on, kind of as you were just getting into it and just figuring out, okay, wait, this is what this means. Talk a little bit about what that was like.
Well, so for me, it was a huge jump because I actually became a believer my sophomore year in college, and I met Matthew the end of my junior year in college. So I went from a very new believer. Now, I had grown up in the church, but a very new relationship with Christ, and went from that to very shortly afterwards being a youth pastor's wife. So it was a huge, huge jump. And we were also in a fairly small church as well. So to say I was naive would be a long shot. So yeah, it was a very interesting transition. I think that naiveness helped because I hadn't ever been a part of the inner workings of the church in that way. And so there was a lot of hurdles, but
So you felt naive, but you thought it was a bit of a blessing is what you're saying.
Yeah. I think the naiveness is a bit of a blessing as well. So, I think, and I know we're going to get to this later, but just that challenge of, I think there's also some protecting your wife from some of the things that, there's the honesty that you want to have in your relationship, but I think you also need to, you have to give some protection as well. Mm-hmm. To some of the things that you guys are privy to.
Matthew, are there things that you don't tell Gina that are going on in the church?
Yeah, there are actually. And it's a struggle for sure, mm-hmm. Because you feel like you're being dishonest. But there are just certain things that I feel like if she knew the full extent of what was going on or what was being said or what was being emailed or people, the way they were acting, it would taint her vision of those people. And I already have a tainted vision of those people. And so I don't think it's fair because I have a bigger perspective on what's going on. And so if I give her parts of what's going on, it could really give her just a false impression of maybe who that person is. Maybe it'll give them a true impression of who that person is. Either way, I don't think she needs to carry that. I feel like I'm the one that's supposed to carry that.
Plus, I'm a terrible actor. So there have been times where he tells me, for instance, someone's pregnant, and then they come to tell me that they're pregnant, and I have to act like I didn't know. And I'm a terrible actor. So I think that that's a very small example, but it's just things like that. And I think that the part of it is Matthew gets to, and you, Steve, you guys get to work through the reconciliation of some of the issues that are going on. And we're not privy to that part of it as well. And so he could see the reconciliation of an issue that he's shared with me, but then I don't get to see that. So I think that's part of the being careful that you're protecting us from some of those things because we don't, like you said, don't see the big story.
Mm-hmm. You've had any experiences with that, Steve?
Yeah, I think there's sometimes I don't tell you everything. I guess for your protection, sometimes because we just don't have time.
We're lucky if we can talk about our own children or what we're eating for dinner.
Yeah, so there are many times where someone will say something to you about, you know, a conversation or something happening, and you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about because Steve hasn't told me yet. But, you know, generally I think you know most of what's going on. But there are times when I just think, she doesn't need to know that.
It's not necessary.
It's not a burden she needs to bear.
What about for you, Karen? Like early on, again, because you had a different journey. You kind of went along with the, hey, we're deciding to do this. But then there still had to be some transitional issues as it played out.
Sure. It was very complex for me. First of all, I was really excited that Steve was following God's calling on his life. And that just gave me a deep peace. So no matter what happened, I was going to have peace with that. But if I confess the truth, there was also some pushback in my spirit. Pushback in that I had my little ideal life planned out. I had two babies, another one on the way. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I didn't want anyone to mess with that. I can be very selfish. I wanted to be first in Steve's priorities and actions. Sometimes I think I'm high maintenance. I need a lot of attention. Probably less now than earlier on in our marriage, but there was a little bit of pushback, like how will this affect my dream of our family and our marriage?
You're not high maintenance, by the way.
Well,
As a youth pastor, I've seen high maintenance.
And we have a front row to high maintenance.
Okay. Well, you are not high
maintenance. Yeah, there was a little bit of pushback, but undergirded by peace. I can honestly say that. And honestly, I've always been really proud of Steve from the moment he started to pursue his call up till now. I'm just really thrilled and proud to be his wife, and he didn't pay me anything to say that.
It's a true story. Although I think lunch was promised after the recording.
True.
So raising a family as youth workers presents a whole set of challenges. It's a beautiful and difficult thing. So talk a little bit about that. What's it been like for you guys, you know, raising four kids while spending a whole life invested in the life of other people's kids too?
I mean, there's, like with everything, there's blessings and there's challenges. And I think the blessing with our kids is they've grown up surrounded by all of these big brothers and big sisters their entire lives. And so they've watched other people. They've grown from the mistakes that they've made, and they've had a firsthand viewpoint of some of the missteps that our youth group kids have taken. But they've also had these role models to look up to that are such a huge part of their lives. And so that's such a huge blessing. The difficulties obviously are they're kids that are under a microscope. And there's expectations that are put on them as youth pastors' kids that have been a little bit of a challenge for them. I think we'll pay for some counseling later on in life, but after we get done paying for college. But a really silly story is our kids never liked to wear shoes, and so they would walk in the front door of the church. And they would whip their shoes off and throw them underneath the little coffee table that was right there by the door. And they would walk around bare feet. And I remember a gentleman walking up to us and offering us money to buy our kids shoes. So, which we were fine. They had shoes. But just, you know, some of those.
But you took his money anyway.
We took the money. Yeah.
Bought him some sweet shoes. But you know, just that's a silly story. But I mean, just kind of some of those well-intentioned, but a little bit, a little bit too much giving of advice. And yeah. So they had to endure that. And they're, you know, they've come through that like champs. But just some of those struggles.
Yeah. What about for you, Karen? Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, we had that episode about our own kids in youth ministry, but I'm just curious to hear what you have to say, Karen, about, do you feel like our kids were under a microscope?
Maybe I'm naive. I didn't get that feeling so much, but I do remember when you and I both struggled with the issue of sports for them, because you have always railed against sports keeping kids from missions trips and, you know, from being plugged into the youth group. And then lo and behold, our sons, our two older sons, were on the travel baseball team in middle school. And I think also a travel basketball team for John, maybe. But I remember we decided that we would let John take an entire season off of youth group to pursue a sport. And it almost seemed like we were being hypocritical. And that was a bit of a struggle. I don't think we would have thought about it so hard if you weren't the youth pastor. Mm-hmm. So, but we justified it by saying this is for one season. And that against the backdrop of years of involvement, it was an okay sacrifice to make one season. But it made that struggle more real.
Hey, here's another question for both of you. What have your roles been in student ministry over the years? I mean, you've probably had lots of different roles you played other than the role of the spouse of the youth pastor. And did you ever feel any expectation to be in any of those roles or to do anything because you were married to the youth pastor?
So for me, when we first started, we were at a smaller church, and so it really was just me and Matthew and one or two other volunteers. And so I don't know if I ever thought I was called to it. I think I just did it because it was part of who we were together. And personally, for me right now, I feel very called to middle school ministry, and so that's where my involvement is now. But back then, we did everything. Even after we started having kids, we would just strap the kids to our backs and off we would go to youth group. Obviously that changed as we had more kids. We weren't able to do that as much. And that obviously causes some disruption because we had to kind of change our priorities and our expectations of what we were involved in. And but for right now and for the last 14 years that we've been at this church, my heart and my soul beats for those middle school kids. And so that's where I pour my ministry into right now.
Mm-hmm. So that's a calling that you chose, in a sense.
Yes, absolutely.
Were there ever expectations from other people of what you would do as the youth pastor's wife? You know, must you play the piano for the children's choir?
There was an expectation. So, and again, I'm going to put this out there as a challenge to allow your spouse to be involved in something else. But we were a part of a smaller church in Oregon, and I was put as, I wanted to go to a Bible study at a bigger church just because there wasn't a lot of young moms at the church that we were at. And so I started going to a different Bible study at a different church. Oh, boy. And
Scandalous.
And met some incredible women who were my age and in my stage of life. And it was so life-giving. And I got called on the carpet at our church that I should be back there leading a Bible study there because that was my role as the pastor's youth pastor's wife. So, you know, obviously Matthew encouraged me to continue on at this other church while I also took on teaching.
He got one right.
He
got one.
No. And I did end up teaching at the church I was at. So there was some expectations there. Unfortunately, at the church we're at now, none. I'm able to serve in where my heart beats, and we as pastors' wives support each other as well, and so we're in a very healthy place, and so it's good.
And so my experience really is completely different from Gina's, which makes this really interesting. I'm going to confess again, I'm full of confessions, that I never felt called to youth ministry, but I've always felt called to be Steve's wife and the best wife that I can be. And when we went down this ministry path, what made me excited was women's ministries and music ministry. And so early on, I was on our church's worship team and just came alive helping to lead worship. And to this day, I still have people who say, we wish you were back up on worship team because you that's just such a great fit for you. I'm not anymore for various reasons. And I do help with the youth group now for various reasons. But yeah, I did not feel called to youth ministry. And as far as expectations, when Steve started down the interview process, again, I had this pushback in my spirit, pushing back against anyone who would dare foist an expectation on me, so that during every interview, I made sure they understood this was no two for one. And
a twofer.
I needed you along on all of these interviews.
And if there was a church that hinted at expectations during the interview process, no way, Jose. And so I totally pushed back on that. Mountain View has never made me feel that I needed to be doing something as Steve's wife. And then I did eventually join up with youth ministry, but not because I felt called.
So Karen, you said that you didn't feel called to youth ministry, but yet you've been working in youth ministry for a while. So how'd that happen?
Well, I've always just had a hunger for my husband's time, and I saw that we weren't spending that much time together. Couple that with feeling like I needed to understand his world a little bit better. So I signed up. I thought, I want to hang with him. I want to see him do what he does well. How could that possibly be anything but good? And so I signed up. He put me on with freshman girls. A few wonderful things resulted from that. One is I've become super close to my co-leader, and she is a really good friend of mine, and we're good friends as couples too. I just cherish her. I love her. And the other interesting thing is, well, to this day, I would say I'm not called to youth ministry. I always say in the next breath, but boy, I love my girls to death. So maybe I just had the wrong view of youth ministry. When I think called to youth ministry, I think of craziness and, I don't know, just taking over your whole life and just this kind of person that I didn't see myself as being. But as I got to know the group that was put in my care, I grew to love them and cherish them. And now I am invested in those girls very much, but I'm still not called to youth ministry.
Both of you guys work full time, right? So how does that affect just your life as youth workers as well as spouses of youth pastors?
We're tired, Steve. We're very tired. I think what it has done for me is I have to create really, really good boundaries. So, for instance, we have a Friday night madness that we do with our middle school kids. And yes, I'm called to middle school kids, but I'm not called to middle school kids on Friday night after I've worked 40 hours. So, just to keep those expectations on, because again, I want to make sure that I'm giving him the best of what I have. And after a long work week, yeah, the middle schoolers are going to get a second choice on that.
So I totally agree with the boundaries. I have a boundary with which retreats that I go on. We have two major retreats a year, fall and winter, and I always go on the fall one, and I never go on the winter one because I need my weekends to reboot. However, when my groups are seniors, I'm on my second group of girls now, taking them from ninth grade through graduation. When they're seniors, I go all in. I go to every blessed event that they have. But knowing that when they're freshmen, sophomores, and juniors, I go to the fall retreat and, of course, Sunday nights and try to connect with them as a youth leader. But, yeah, that's it. And then I set those boundaries.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, those are great boundaries that you've both set. But and I think those apply not just to youth pastors, spouses. I think that's a great thing for all volunteers in student ministry, and it's a good thing for youth pastors and youth leaders to understand is that our leaders have lots of other demands on their time. So just hearing both of you talk about that made me think about how I want to set a high bar for my leaders because I want them to achieve that, but I also have to set that high bar with some understanding that there's just sometimes they're not going to be able to give me what I want because of what their job demanded of them that week. So I think that's just a healthy boundary for all leaders.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that's something that maybe we've learned, Matthew, maybe a little bit of wisdom that we've gained because we see it in our own families with our own wives. We realize that, yeah, there's a limit to how much you guys can give time, energy, because you're working full time. It's demanding. So gives me a lot of grace for people's schedules. And
absolutely. And that was challenges. That was a harder thing for me to do when I was younger because I didn't have that perspective because we didn't have kids yet and we had all this time and so we could give it. But now again, a little further down the road, I can see, oh, that's why that person had to say like, look, I can't go to the retreat.
Yeah.
You know, I get it now.
Yeah. Why isn't every volunteer completely 100% invested in this like I am?
Right, because they're not getting paid to do it. That's why. What about thinking about being the spouse of a youth worker? You know, like maybe in two different seasons, like when the kids were smaller or littler, not necessarily in youth group, and then when they were, like what are some of the joys and what are some of the challenges of being married to the youth worker?
So I've got a great story on that. We were living out in Oregon, and at the time we had, I think, three, maybe even four kids. And I remember there was a night that I was on the brink of insanity. And the vacuum cleaner was broke.
They were all under five, right?
They were all, probably
under, close in age.
Probably under maybe even three or four at that time.
Whoa.
So, and the vacuum cleaner had broke, so there was, you know, crushed Cheerios everywhere. And it was just... Every toy was out. Our kids had this weird thing about emptying all their dresser drawers. I mean, it was awful. And somehow...
It looked like a war zone.
It looked like a war zone. And somehow, bless his heart, Matthew had put on the video scavenger hunt for that night that the teams were supposed to come over and read a bedtime story to my kids. And I'm sure it sounded like a great idea at the time.
It was a great idea in my head.
But again, I was at home and just trying to get these kids to bed and just a mess. And I remember there was this small group of boys led by one of our leaders, Kevin Clements, I think was his name. And so they knocked on the door. They told me what they were doing for the video scavenger hunt. And I just said, you are not coming in my house. It's not clean. You guys need to leave. And Kevin had the wherewithal to... say before we do the video scavenger hunt, the boys are going to come in and we're going to clean up. And so I literally had boys sweeping my carpet and washing my dishes. And, you know, they probably were only there for 20 minutes and then reading the kids a bedtime story. And so it was just such a sweet, I remember that so clearly because it was just such a sweet moment of, man, this is hard and this is a tough stage of life. And it's tough doing it alone on Sunday nights when the kids that we, you know, when really my heart beats for wanting to be at youth group. But just such a sweet time of the volunteers pouring into me, taking that moment to pour into me, knowing that this was an extension of, you know, their youth pastor. So, so joys, yes, that was a joy, even amidst the craziness of it all. So,
yeah. So let's see. I'm thinking of a particular joy. Something that I just love as a wife and mom is when all five peeps are together. And I can just remember one year, all five of us went to the National Youth Conference in Ohio. And Thomas wasn't quite old enough, but we made an allowance for him. It helped, you know, one of the perks of being the youth pastor's kid. And then John and Tim were along, and I went as a volunteer just to chaperone that trip. I wasn't yet a volunteer in the youth ministry. That week just stands out in my mind as a really precious time that we were all together, all experiencing a wonderful thing together. So that was definitely a joy. Challenges definitely abounded. When the boys were little, of course, kind of like Gina was saying, doing it all yourself and missing your other half, that certainly was a challenge. And then when they were older, and I'm thinking when our older two, John and Tim, were in youth ministry, boys who are close in age can be super competitive. And I can remember them playing ping pong at youth group, and it was not a good-natured ping pong game. They would get viciously mad and start slamming the thing around and get into pushing and shoving sometimes. That was embarrassing for me. I don't know if it was embarrassing because they were youth pastors' kids, but nonetheless, that
was proud of them because they like to win.
Who did they get that from?
So what are some of the joys of seeing, you know, your life in youth ministry and your kids' lives and your marriage, like, all intersect and kind of converge in this beautiful space called youth ministry?
So I was just thinking that, you know, especially obviously our hearts are going to be more to minister to the girls, but I just thought they got to watch us go through all of these pregnancies, at least for us, because we had the younger kids. And so these girls got to, and the guys obviously, got to kind of watch as we went through that stage of life. I remember we were at a camping trip, and why I went along, I don't know why, because I think it was like 8 months pregnant. And I remember I got really sick, and I was laying in the tent, and I remember Kyle Ferguson and Josh Sandin said, Miss Gina, just unzip the tent a little bit and stick your feet out here. And they rubbed my feet.
Aww.
And I thought, these two are going to make the most incredible husbands someday, because they just looked to serve. And by the way, they are incredible husbands to this day. And just those kind of joys that they got to, we served them, but they got to serve us in turn. I mean, I don't know how many times we had youth group kids babysit or, this was Kyle again. I remember I was so, you know, pregnancy hungry for a Perkins salad.
Mm.
And I remember I called Matthew. I know, isn't that
craving.
Gross? It's so weird.
A strange craving.
So weird. But
you mean that restaurant that went out of business?
Right. But for some reason had this craving, and I called Matthew up at youth group and said, can you just please stop at Perkins on the way home? And Matthew was saying, you know, I got to do something with somebody else afterwards. I'm not going to get there before they close. And one of the youth group kids went and got me a salad and brought it to the house, because, you know, it's just that opportunity that we gave them to just be a part of our lives and to mesh into who we are. So it's not just the ministry part of it, but just giving, they had opportunities to serve us even while we were serving them. And so just a cool opportunity to open up our lives and our homes and just be a part of them maturing and growing into these awesome men and women.
Mm-hmm. I can think of a way that we've been really blessed with having our lives converge in this wonderful space we call youth ministry. Our sons have always been into sports, and the latest sport they were into was tennis, and we sat at a lot of matches where our boys were playing, and people from church were our biggest fans. At their big matches, our youth group friends and our church family would come out and be the biggest and loudest cheerers and supporters, and
It meant so much to our family to have that fan section at the boys' tennis matches, even to the point where now there are Frederick County summer tennis matches, and our kids have long been out of high school and Mountain View Youth Ministry, but their church homies will still come to their summer tennis matches, and it's kind of a joyful reunion, and it warms my heart to see their friends come together and be at those matches.
You guys ever wish? You guys ever wish that we weren't doing this thing anymore? You ever want out? Not out of marriage.
Thanks for clarifying that, Steve. Yeah, but did you ever think about what it would be like to be married to somebody with a maybe more normal job?
I don't know. I mean, I think
every
of, I think,
day.
No, I think of
every
course.
Time you open up the bank account.
No, I think of course. You know, there's those thoughts. I think when you guys go away and you know for 2 weeks, I don't go on the missions trips, mm-hmm. and so when you go away to Peru and spouses listen up to this one. When they're going away to Peru and they're planning a trip, they usually leave in their mind about a week before and they're gone in their mind for about a week after. So, you know,
very good point.
When Matthew goes to Peru, in my mind, he's really gone for about a month. Mm-hmm. So yeah, during those times, do I think, wow, what would it look like if it was different? So, but it's all I've known. And I feel like it makes, and I'll speak to Matthew, it makes him who he is. Mm-hmm. And so, sure, I'm going to be honest. Yeah, there's times I think about it, but no, I don't want out.
Did you ever think about how many nights away he's actually had? Do you think you could add it up?
That would be an awful thing to think about.
It's insane.
I would rather not us do that math.
Yeah, so again, I'll just circle back to what I said at the very beginning. I've always been so proud of him and so at rest knowing that he's doing what God created him to do. That doesn't mean that there aren't some hard times, but I've never, ever wished that he didn't do what he's doing. Sometimes I long wistfully for a normal weekend. In my job, I'm a kindergarten teacher. And when the weekend comes, it's like, woohoo, celebration. And I just want to unplug, and that's when he's gearing up. The weekend is the big time of his week. So, you know, there's that rhythm that it's messed with some. And then also, I'm a morning person by nature, and by shortly after dinner time, my brain starts to die down and my energy rapidly. And Steve is a night out, and plus youth ministry, as we were saying, has a lot of nights out. And so as a wife who longs for connectivity, it, you know, that's sacrificed a lot because he's out. And when he does get home at 9:30, 10:30, I'm either in bed or awake but comatose.
So what do you guys do to align your schedules?
We don't. That's why I signed up for youth ministry.
What do you do to make time so you have time together?
Well, we have a date night twice a month. I think we should have it weekly, and maybe we will. And we also plan special trips that we look forward to. So while it isn't a regular time of alignment, I guess you could say the date nights are, but we know, for instance, last summer we went to Jamaica for 8 days, and you can cram a lot of togetherness in a trip like that that kind of helps you survive for a period of time without aligning your schedules.
Yeah, and I think for us, because we're still in the throes of, we've got some kids still at home, and they're busy and crazy, and we try to be really intentional, although I really do like your date night ideas. We need to think about that.
You need to.
Yeah. we try to be very intentional about grabbing the spaces that we can. And so when we find that space, we try to make sure, you know, put the phones down, put the computers down, make sure that we spend some intentional time talking. Even on the drive up here, you know, which is about a half an hour, you know, we had some intentional things we wanted to talk about to make sure that we connected on those things and we were on the same page. So, but date nights, that's a great idea.
It's a great idea. Yeah, we should definitely look into that.
It's fun.
Gina, have you ever talked Matthew off the cliff?
Oh, absolutely. So Matthew, I'm gonna give this up. Yes, so Matthew is not great in the winter when it's dark and the sun's not out, and he just kind of becomes grumpy. And there was a pastor that we had. I don't remember which church it was at, and he said, "I will never let you quit in the winter. If you turned in your resignation, I'd tear it up in the winter." So he just kind of has this season, you know, whether it's a whatever.
I don't like winter.
So that's when I see it. Matthew's, I know he's spoken about this before, but I mean, he's a people pleaser too. And so also talking him off the ledge when someone has spoken badly about him or his ministry, or just giving him perspective. So, yeah. Ledge, yes.
What about you, Karen?
Maybe Steve will jump in and correct me, but I don't think I have literally talked him off the ledge, and I don't think he's the sort of person who would allow himself to be talked off a ledge. What he needs instead...
By golly, if I get to that ledge, I am jumping. Ain't nobody telling me not to jump.
Well, he's never jumped, but he needs to back down on his own time. What he needs is space and love. He doesn't need me to tell him what he should be thinking or what he should be doing. He doesn't even need me to state the obvious truth. I need to just back away, but be available when he's ready. So, yeah, he's not one to be talked off or down or away from any potential danger. I just back off, pray, and love. I have had to bear of really bad news to him a couple times. I can think of probably the worst thing that ever happened in our student ministry, one of the worst things. And yeah, then two things. And I somehow found out first and had to tell him, and that was hard. So I had to do that with grace and prayer.
All right, one final question for you lovely ladies that we're so grateful that you took an opportunity to be on our podcast with us. But one other question. Karen, for you, if you could tell 25-year-old Steve how to be not a better youth worker, but how to be a better husband while he's a youth worker, what would you tell him? And then Gina, same question for you, directed towards me.
What I'm thinking is, I can think of what I needed when I was younger, maybe that I wished that I, at that time, that I would have received more from him. And that's simply attention and affection. And maybe it's because I was a newer bride. I don't know. But I remember being at a youth conference, one of those national youth conventions, and I just wanted him to sit with me at the session, and I wanted him to carve out some time to get a cup of coffee. And him being a new youth pastor, he was 110% focused on the students and the ministry. And I felt a little bit like a wilting flower needing a little bit of water. And then I felt guilty at the same time because I thought, you shouldn't even be worried about this. You should be all in too. But looking back on that I guess we were in our 30s. Maybe I would say investing in your wife and in your marriage is really more important than even investing in the here and now. That difference between the necessary and the urgent, where the youth ministry is urgent and in your face, but your marriage is a long-term thing and of more importance really than any other relationship. So go ahead and look at what that young bride or young husband or whoever it is, look at what they need and put them first and balance.
Just a funny story about youth workers conventions, because I remember that one that we went to, but there was the one that I went to with Matthew and Gina, and I ended
Speaking of balance.
Yeah. And I slept in the room with him.
Yes. What?
What were you doing?
It was his 40th birthday.
I know.
And you shared a room with him.
That's really awkward.
I don't know how we agreed on that. Yes.
It had to do with rooming assignments and how many female youth leaders went to the convention, and you needed a room with one of the female youth leaders, because that'd be awkward for me to do that.
All I know is that I slept with Matthew on his 40th birthday.
No. Let's clarify. We slept in the same room.
I had to witness your tears and your late night margarita induced lamenting. So yeah, it was an epic moment for our friendship.
Yeah, for his 40th birthday, I made him, I had all the former youth group kids, as many as I could find, write him a letter and tell him what impact he had had in their life. And so I gave it to him while he was rooming with Steve. I gave it to him and told him to open it up that night and read through it. And so Steve got to witness all the slobbery tears.
And cried like a little baby.
You're very thoughtful.
What about for you, Gina? What advice would you give to 25-year-old Matthew?
You know, it's so funny because Karen was saying as a 30-year-old, the feeling that at a National Youth Workers Convention, well, I remember very, very clearly one of the first weekend retreats that we went on when we were married. And I remember just feeling, it's so funny you say wilted flower. I felt exactly like that. Like I felt completely ignored. And we were even, we were even in the same cabin, but it was, you know, by the time he got back to the cabin at night, I mean, it was just, I really felt ignored. And it was odd because obviously we were such a team, but when we were in that mentality, and both of our husbands are this kind of built in somewhat of the same way, he was so focused on this is what I'm here for and the kids, and that I just kind of got pushed to the side. And so I think the challenge would be, obviously this is their jobs and obviously this is part of, you know, their ministry, but to really, really be aware of that partner that you have alongside of you. And even if it's just in those moments to just find some real pointed time to connect with them, even for just a moment, I think that could really pour a lot of life into your spouse. Mm-hmm. Because you do feel ignored especially in those times. And I would just say boundaries. You know, again, we didn't come from the generations back when there was all these phones and gadgets and things like that. But I do know that for Matthew and I right now, we see it. We see it in our own lives of how distracted we can be and how maybe even artificially connected we can be to other people, that we have to make sure that we're being intentional about putting those things away and focusing on each other. You know, we didn't have those distractions back in the days of pencil and paper and stamps and mailboxes, but I can imagine that's a huge challenge for today's youth pastors and their spouses of those distractions. And so I would say just be intentional. Maybe that's what it all comes down to, Karen, what we were talking about, is just being very intentional with your time.
Wow, what a great conversation. Steve, you and I are luckier than we should be, are we not?
We outkicked our coverage for sure.
Outdrove our headlights. However you wanna phrase that.
Yeah, one of the reasons we're still able to do this, you know, 20, 25, 30 years in, is because we've been blessed with wives who are super supportive and wise and loving and fun and engaged and pretty good looking too.
100%. Yeah, and so as we, again, try to encourage youth workers to keep going, be in this game 20, 30 years into it, one of the ways to do that is to make sure you're taking care of your spouse and make sure that relationship is strong. Well, thanks again for listening today.
Now take us out for lunch.
All right. Amen. That's our cue to wrap this episode up, Steve, and we'll be back next week with a brand new episode.
Yep. Until then, thanks for listening.
Sherpas out.